earth, and sky.
It's extremely important that the public understands that the science that we perform is not science for ivory tower, but it's science which has direct results and direct consequences for the human population.
This is Earth Skies, Clear Voices for Science, and I'm speaking today with Dr. Robert B. Wade, Executive Director of the Long-Term Ecological Research Network Office. LTER has over two dozen sites across the U.S., Puerto Rico, and Antarctica, and it brings together scientists studying ecological processes over the course of decades. I asked Dr. Wade about this work and about how scientists who might not normally talk to each other are starting to talk to each other. The work of the Long-Term Ecological Research Network, it looks at things all over the continental U.S. and even into other places in the world. I wanted you to maybe tell us a little bit more about that work and about how scientists who might not normally talk to each other are starting to talk to each other. Tell us more about that.
Well, of course, the LTR network, the Long-Term Ecological Research Network in the United States, has been around for almost 30 years now. It began in 1980. And the reason that it first was brought into existence by the National Science Foundation was because of a perception both on the part of NSF and the part of the scientific community that we simply weren't addressing certain kinds of very important ecological processes. If you look at an evaluation of the publications back from that period, you'll find most of those publications focused on 2 or 3 years of data collection, and the most common spatial scale that they worked at was 1 meter square. There are lots of reasons for that. But principally, it was because there weren't any programs, any funding programs, to allow people to look at broader spatial scales and longer time frames. So in order to capture these very important ecological processes, some of which play out very slowly, some of which, like fires or hurricanes or volcanic eruptions, occur very infrequently, you needed a longer-term program. And that's where an LTER came into being, the idea being that it would be a program that would look at ecological processes that played out over decades or centuries. And with a knowledge of the ecological principles, we have a better chance of understanding and predicting what's going to happen in the future. So we have 26 sites. We have almost as many different kinds of ecosystems. But there are also now 38 other national networks around the world which have sprung up in the last 15 years, and they're based more or less on the U.S. model of long-term research.
Now, this this sounds like a really complicated subject, trying to keep track of all these changes that are happening in nature. And the National Science Foundation is encouraging scientific research into how these systems behave, these coupled natural and human systems. Why do you think that's important?
Well, it's important because we can no longer understand either natural or human systems by themselves. They're deeply interwoven. As our society becomes more and more urbanized, people become less and less attuned to what's going on in the ecosystems that provide services to them. And there are many services that ecosystems provide, but humans behave in certain ways that affect the function and the structure of the ecosystems around them, and therefore affect the ecosystem services that come back to humans from those ecosystems. Those connections, you're right, are very, very complex.
Yeah, I think that's something that people listening might not realize or even think about much, that we, no matter where we are part of an ecosystem.
Absolutely true. And it may not look like, you know, it may look like a city to you, but even cities are ecosystems. And we have two of our sites are in cities, Baltimore and Phoenix. So you can study any system as a kind of ecosystem. And it's particularly important in these areas of high human density to understand their relationship with the surrounding natural ecosystems. And in many cases with ecosystems much further away, for example, Phoenix, where water is scarce and has to be brought in from regions many hundreds of miles away.
Maybe you could tell us a little bit more about what the scientists are seeing. What are some of the main trends that that scientists involved are seeing out in the field?
I think the most important trend is that we are seeing change, and in many cases, unprecedented change. Change principally driven by modifications of global climate, by changing land use and by gain or loss of species. Gain in the sense of invasions of exotic species and loss of species by extinction of native species.
Right. So we've been talking about how basically how scientists are looking at these ecosystems. I'd like to maybe think about, you know, ordinary people like me who aren't scientists, and why they should be interested in this kind of thing. Why should they understand that the human species is coupled with nature?
Well, the principal reason is because collective small actions can have very large effects. And a good example of that is the Dust Bowl in the U.S. in the 1930s, where a series of decisions made by farmers on relatively small pieces of land resulted collectively in the destruction of agriculture over a much larger area. These are reasons why it's very important for people to be able to understand and evaluate their own actions in a larger context. As we understand the way that ecosystems function, we can then understand how changes in these functions directly affect the services that the systems provide to humans. And that's the kind of linkage that we're trying to make in our studies now by becoming more and more involved with social scientists. So the social systems, the economic systems, and the other kinds of systems that are directly controlled by humans really are more closely integrated in the kinds of work that we're doing. Our most recent focus is on transdisciplinary research, that is, research which incorporates those disciplines of social science and ecological science into what we're calling now social ecological science.
Right, so this isn't just about scientists talking to each other.
Absolutely not. The LTR network has recently begun to focus more strongly on things like environmental literacy, that is, the desire for every citizen to understand enough about their environment that they can make wise choices about what is best for them and what is best for the country and the globe. So this whole issue of translating scientific information into a level of understanding that school children can appreciate, that the average citizen can appreciate, is a very important goal for what we're doing now.
You've been listening to Dr. Robert B. Wade, professor of biology at the University of New Mexico and executive director of the Long-Term Ecological Research Network Office. To subscribe to this and other free science podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Jorge Salazar, and you're listening to Earth Skies, Clear Voices for Science.
We're at earthsky.org.